Okay. Well, let's pray. We'll look into the Word of God here this afternoon. Father, I ask that you open your Word to us now by your Holy Spirit. You are the teacher. We look to you, Lord. I pray that what you want to speak to each person would be clear, and you would enable me to share the truths that I've been able to see from the Word of God today in a way that would be impactful in the lives of your people here. I ask you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I'd like you to open your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. You know, we're going into the Christmas season now, and I wonder if somebody could get me a glass of water, a drink of water for here. We're going into the Christmas season right now, and I was kind of reading over the stories of the birth of Christ, and I was kind of, I just thought of the different people, the different people involved in the story, and maybe something that God would teach us. So for the next few weeks, I'm going to share some stories about Mary and about Joseph and about the shepherds and some truths that we can learn, I think, that will help us in our walk with Jesus. Today, I want to talk about Mary and how the Lord came to her. You know, there was a prophecy written in the book of Isaiah that took place probably 700 years before what we're going to read about. And in that prophecy, the Lord said that he would show a sign, and that sign would be that a virgin would bring forth a child. And now we're at the place in history where this is going to happen. So God had a plan. He sat on it for 700 years, but now it's about ready to be introduced into the world. And the amazing thing about it is he chose to use this young girl. You know, you don't know how old Mary was, but they say a lot of times people got married in that day around the age of maybe 14 or 15 years old. So she was very young girl, very young woman at that time. And the Lord came to her with this amazing prophecy fulfillment that she would become the mother of the Messiah. Think about that. So let's read this for a minute. In the sixth month, I'm in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Why do you think God sent the angel to a virgin? Right. Well, because he's fulfilling his word. He made a prophecy 700 years earlier that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child. And so he came to this virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So he was in the lineage of David, which meant royalty. David was the king of Israel. So she was betrothed to this man, Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So what I want to share with you today is a principle that God desires to take us to new places in our life. God meets us where we are, but he takes us to someplace new. I think sometimes when we think about a person's encounter with Jesus Christ, we often think of a person who's not saved, you know, that comes to Jesus and there's a dynamic conversion that happens. But I want to talk not so much about that kind of change. I want to talk about the changes that should take place in our life as believers. That God wants to take all of us to a new place. When the children of Israel walked through the wilderness on their journey, it shows this picture of God involved in their day-to-day life, feeding them, clothing them, taking care of their water, everything they needed. But there was also this idea that God was leading them with a pillar of fire and the cloud. And so sometimes they camped for a few days. Sometimes they camped for longer periods of time. But the idea was that God was taking them on a journey. He was taking them to new places over and over and over again. They were learning, what does it mean to walk with Him, to go to a new place in our walk with the Lord. Now, let me talk to you about Mary for a minute. And I'm kind of reading between the lines here a little bit, but I'm just trying to put myself in her shoes. Number one, at this time when this angel came, she didn't know she was going to be the mother of Messiah. She didn't have that as one of her in the bucket list. That wasn't her plan, or my next 5-year plan is that I'm going to become the mother of Messiah. She was just like any other girl, living her life. And, you know, she was a godly woman. She was following the ways of the Lord. You'll find as you read her life and you see how she treated Jesus and taking Him for the circumcision and all these things, she was a woman who was keeping the law. She was a holy woman, if you want to call her that, a woman of God, a woman who had this relationship with the Lord, who cared about it. I mean, she was a virgin. She kept herself pure in the eyes of the Lord, waiting for this marriage to come. So she's a godly young woman, loved the Lord. And the other thing was, she had plans. She was betrothed to this guy. I'm trying to think about young girls today that might be planning to get married. You know, you get, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to get a little house. I'm going to have a dog. I'm going to have 2 kids. I'm going to have a pickup truck or whatever it is, whatever your plans might be. But you sort of set your plans in life. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But sometimes God desires to, in a sense, intersect that and take us to a different place. I mean, He took Mary to a way different place than she was expecting in her life. I guess what I'm saying to us is it's easy to sort of settle into a Christian existence, just living holy, serving God in every way, just like Mary. You know, walking with the Lord, knowing His ways, keeping ourselves pure, having the plans in our life. But sometimes our plans aren't really God's plans. Sometimes God has a different plan. And how many of you know that God's plan is always, always, always better? It's always better. And so into this young girl's life, on this unique day, an angel comes. Sent by God. Why? Because God knew her. God chose her. God desired to use her. God singled her out. Of all the young ladies in that area, He singled out this Mary, this young girl, virgin, a spouse to a husband, with plans of what her life might be like. And the Lord stops in and He says, hey, I have a different plan for you, Mary. I mean, she was like, I kind of like, when I'm thinking about this, I feel like her world was like a bubble. And she was living in the universe of Mary's world. And just on the edge of it was God's plan. Prophesied 700 years ago. She was not aware of it. I mean, she may have known the prophecies. I'm sure she would have, you know, being the kind of woman she was. But never, ever in her mind would she have thought, that's me. And so right on the edge of her bubble of life is this, I'll call it the plan of God. And she wasn't living in it. wasn't the time for it, obviously. But she was living a good life, holy, separate, getting ready to marry this wonderful man, Joseph. And he is a wonderful man. We'll learn a little bit more about him next week. This wonderful man, Joseph, in her life, and thinking about their future together. Like I say, what might it be? You know, in all these dreams that we get. But the Lord came and he intersected there. And he said, hey, let me show you my plan. I want to take you to a different place. And I was encouraged by this because I think in my life and maybe in some of all of our lives, we kind of settled into this living the Christian life. Good people, love the Lord, read our Bibles. And we just kind of settle there. And we have our dreams and our plans and whatever that future might look like. We've got it kind of all sorted out. But I'm wondering if we ever stop to ask, Lord, am I really in your plan? Do you want to take me to a new place? And sometimes it's not even, maybe not even a life change, but God just wants to take us to a new place in our walk with him. Maybe you feel like I've been dry in the Lord. My prayer life kind of sucks, or I haven't been in your word, or I don't sense your presence when I worship. I don't know, but he wants to take us always to a new place. And that's what he did with Mary on this day. And I love that when the Lord came to her, one of the things he did at the very beginning was he said, this is the angel speaking, but it is from the Lord. This angel's representing God to her. He said, hey, greetings, O favored one. And so when I speak to you today, and I might be telling you, hey, you know what? I wonder if you're stuck in this eddy of my life, my world, my universe, my plan. I'm not trying to degrade anybody. I'm saying that you are highly favored of the Lord. And he wanted Mary to know that. That God favors you. It is grace. That this is the word charis. His grace is toward you, Mary. His favor is upon you. And he said, the Lord is with you. Not only does he favor you, but he is with you. I mean, if you're gonna make a change in your life and maybe open up your heart to a new place, you know, on your journey with the Lord, isn't it nice to know that the Lord favors you? He's not putting you down. He didn't put Mary down because her vision for her life was so limited. He just said, Mary, you are highly favored. I'm coming to you because you're highly favored and the Lord is with you. And then he said, do not be afraid. You wonder why he said, do not be afraid. Who would like to take a guess? Well, I think all of us might be afraid if an angel appeared in front of you. And so the Lord comforts her right away. Don't be afraid. What's going to happen here, Mary, is a good thing. Don't be afraid here. And I like that he called her by name. And this just shows me something about God, a lot of things about God. One is that God knows where you live. It says he sent this angel to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin. He knows where Mary lives. He knows where you live. He knows your name. And a lot of times, I think, in our walk with the Lord, we focus on, you know, my response to him or what I think of him. Sometimes maybe we need to stop and think, what does God think of me? I wonder what God even thinks of you. And I think some of us, you know, depending on what our backgrounds may have been or how we were brought up, we sometimes think, God is not that happy with me. You know, I haven't lived up to the thing. I haven't met the standard. I haven't walked the way he wants me to walk. And so we have this idea that God, he's favored you. Jesus came and died for you. And so when I talk to you today about maybe being willing to go to a new place, to step into a new adventure. I want you to know that you need to do that under this security blanket that God knows you. He knows where you live. You are favored in his eyes. He knows your name. And though it might appear to be amazing and fearful, he'll be with you in the process. So the Lord comes to Mary, and he says in verse 31, this angel, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great." That's like the, what's the word I want there? Huh? No idea? All right. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's a king. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Ladies, let me ask you a question. If the Lord came to you and said this to you, you're going to have a baby. You're going to conceive and have a baby. He's going to sit on the throne of David. There is no end to his kingdom. He will reign forever. Would that blow your mind? And can you imagine what's going through this young girl? Again, a 14 or 15-year-old girl. What's going through her mind now? Because all she's thinking about is, me and Joseph, we're going to get married. We're going to have some babies. We're going to get a dog. We'll have a house and a picket fence and get a pickup truck. And Joseph's going to be a great carpenter. He's going to have a job. And man, our whole lives are set out in front of us. And maybe 30, 40, 50 years from now, we're going to retire. And our life's going to be great. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, hey, I got a plan. I have a plan for you, Mary. And it's really different than what you ever expected. It's way different. You're going to bear this son. He'll be Son of the Most High. He's the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Now when the Lord comes to us like this and he gives us this new opportunity, this new plan, this new path to our life, sometimes it looks impossible. We look at it and we think, how could this ever be? The Lord's telling me I'm going to have a baby, but I can't think of how that would ever be because I'm a virgin. And that's just the amazing thing about it, is this has the fingerprints of God all over it. It's been in the heart and the plan of God for 700 years, and now he's bringing it to pass, and he's chosen you, Mary, you, to be that one who would bring forth the Messiah. How will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of wonder what that conversation would have been when Mary went to tell Joseph what's going on. I mean, this is a true story. I want you to know that. This is a true story in the Bible here. Joseph, are you wondering what this bump is? The Holy Spirit came upon me. I was overshadowed by the Most High, and a child was conceived. Now, men, I know how men think. How many men would buy that? Let me see your hand. I don't think any of us would. And that tells you a lot about Joseph right there. Tells you a lot about that man. I mean, the Lord's intersecting her plans, and he's bringing this whole thing into her life. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be pregnant. I have no husband. I got to, you know, we know the story later on that Joseph was going to actually divorce her because he thought she'd had a relationship with another man. So this intersection of God's plan wasn't all peaches and cream. It had problems with it. One time the Lord said that the future destiny of Jesus Christ would be like a sword that pierced her heart. So it was met with problems as well. And so here's Mary. The power of the Most High will overshadow. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age. Now, she had a relative named Elizabeth who was an older woman, probably past the age of bearing children, who also had become pregnant by the hand of God. You know, I mean, they did it the natural way. She wasn't a virgin. But she became pregnant in her old age. And the angel was saying, look what God can do. Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And then he said this, for nothing will be impossible with God. So the Lord now is ministering to this, I don't know, this unbelief that Mary had. Oh my goodness, I can't believe what you're telling me here. You're telling me something that's impossible. It's amazing. How could I ever become conceived with a child? I'm a virgin. I don't even know a man in this way. Nothing will be impossible to God. And sometimes when the Lord, you know, you're living in the bubble of your life and the Lord wants to take you to a new place, you start thinking, how could that ever be? How could this ever happen? It seems impossible. I just want you to know, if that's the Lord's plan for you, nothing's impossible for him. And you know, I preached this before, the idea, you know, the Greek word for all means all, right? What do you think the Greek word for nothing is? Well, surprisingly, it's not nothing. I looked this up, and look it up in your Strong's Concordance sometime. There's three different Greek words that are used to make up this word nothing. And it means, and I didn't write it down here, it means like no, not one word of anything God has said will not come to pass. I mean, the word rhema is part of this word nothing. So he's not just saying nothing's impossible to God. He's saying not anything that God has ever said will not come to pass. It's like double negatives and stuff in there. And he wants Mary to know that God has spoken. God spoke this prophecy 700 years ago. God has told Elizabeth she would have a child. Remember, Elizabeth's husband didn't believe the angel when he told him, and he became mute for the time of the pregnancy. So there's not one word of God's will ever fail. And so when I'm talking to you today about, you know, I'm living in my universe, my world, my plans, my life, a good life. And if God comes and says, hey, here's something different over here. I want to take you to a new place. I want to bring you on in your walk with the Lord. And it seems hard. It seems impossible. There may be some trouble involved with it. But I want you to know, if God has spoken it, it's not impossible. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. You know, don't quote this scripture. Like for me, I would walk down to the gym. I see, like 500 pounds of barbells over there. And I say, nothing's impossible for the Lord. You know, that's not how you would quote this scripture. So there's four things I want to close with. Four ways that God met Mary. God met Mary where she was, but he's taken her to a new place. Four things I think that will help. Helped her, and I think it will help us. One is, he took her from fear to understanding. I don't think I have the scripture there, but if you open up your Bible to Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Well, I guess it is up there. Yeah, it's right there. That's a portion of it. Remember, at the very beginning when this angel came to her, she was fearful. He said, don't be afraid, Mary, the Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. God took her from this place of fear to understanding that he's there. To me, the greatest thing that I need in my life, if there's fear in my life, is knowing the Lord is with me. I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. And so the Lord took Mary from the place of fear to the place of knowing he loved her. You are favored in my eyes. I know you by name. I know where you live. I am with you in this. So I'm not just telling you to go on a new place. I'm saying I'm with you in this new place. This is exactly my plan for your life. The second thing is, Mary, and this is kind of a subtle thing here, but she said in verse 38, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. When she was responding to this angel, like, what am I going to do now? You know, you've told me this thing. You've given me a whole new path in my life. You've intersected my life. I had these plans for me and Joseph. And now you're coming and telling me it's something different over here. Well, let me tell you, Lord, I am the servant of the Lord. And I just wrote down up here, Mary grew from serving God to being a servant of God. That sounds subtle, but it is subtle. Because in a way, Mary was serving God by being a virgin. She was serving a God in their customs by the way she was preparing with her husband, betrothed to her husband, preparing for their lives together. She was serving God, I'm sure, in other ways as a woman of the word. But you know, you can serve God, you know, do things for him, per se, or even live your life his ways, but not have in your mind or in your heart this idea that I am the servant of God. In a way, if I'm serving God, I can kind of do it on my terms. Well, I serve God on Sunday mornings, or I serve God Tuesday nights at 5. You know, when does God fit into my schedule? But when you are the servant of God, it's all of a sudden, what do you want, Lord? It's not what do I want and when it's convenient for me. It's now I'm the servant of God. It's whatever you want. Even though it changes my plan, even though it takes me out of my happy universe and puts me into this other place, whatever you want, I'm your servant. So the Lord took her to that place. The third thing is, he took her from her plan to his word. She said in verse 38, let it be to me according to your word. Even though she had these plans, and they weren't evil, they were good plans, her heart was now, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. What you spoke, what you want, what your plan is, that's what I want. And that was a growth process the Lord took Mary through. And then the final thing is, he took her from how can I? You know, she said up there, how can this be? I don't know a man. I'm a virgin. And the Lord took her from this place of saying, how can I, or how can this be, to the place where she could say, whatever you have spoken. It's not a matter of what I can do. It's what you have spoken. Because nothing is impossible to God. Not one of his words will fail. It's what you have spoken. So those are four things. I would like you to stand with me and think about your own life right now. You know, what are the plans you have? I think sometimes we're afraid of this step with the Lord because, I don't know, maybe in the back of our mind we think God's going to send us all to be missionaries in Africa somewhere. And maybe he will for you, I don't know. But let me say this, whatever the Lord's plan is, whatever it is the 100% absolute best thing for your life. It would have been a lot easier for Mary just to go with her own plan. You know, Lord, I think I'll pass on that. I got these things with Joseph. We got a wedding planned. Our dates are coming up here. You know, I'm just kind of busy right now. I got my life. I got it all in order. It took me a long time. It's going to be 15 years to get to this place. So I'd like you, all of us, to be honest and evaluate our heart today, you know, first, just ask yourself the question, am I willing to go to a new place? Whatever. When I say a new place, I'm not talking about a geographical move. I'm just talking about a new place in your walk with Him. Are you willing to let the Lord speak something to your heart that says, hey, you know what, I'm kind of stuck here. I'm doing good. I'm a virgin. I'm walking in the ways of the Lord. But I'm not progressing in a new place. Take me to a new place, Lord. Maybe it's a new place in your love for others. Maybe it's a new place in your ability to forgive. Maybe it's a new place in your devotion toward Him. Maybe it's a new place in, you know, how you raise your children. Whatever it might be, you ask the Lord. But be willing to go to a new place. It's possible to go through life and to live with Christian principles and never touch the purpose of God for your life. And living that Christian life has almost become the ideal for the church in America. Well, yeah, I'm living the Christian life. Are you touching God's purpose? Or is your life like in this bubble and the purpose of God is just right here? It's right there. It's right on the edge. You're so close. Just right there. That's what I learned from this story about Mary and her willingness to be changed the direction of her life, to overcome the fear, to overcome the uncertainty, to overcome the unbelief, to have a new revelation about what God wants for you and embrace it. And that's what I hope that all of us can do. God will meet you where you are. He'll take you to a new place. So, Lord, I pray for all of us here today. We want to go to a new place, Lord. We don't want to be stuck. We don't want to be just seeing our life revolve around our own plan, our own idea of what our life should look like. We desire your will, your purpose. Lord, this purpose for Mary was something that you spoke about 700 years beforehand, and now it's coming to pass in her life. Lord, I know the plans you have for us are good plans. You've prepared in advance things for us to do, your works, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would not live our life just doing Christian things and living the dream, but that we would always be challenged to say, Lord, take me to a new place. Where do you want me to go? And we would take upon ourselves, not that I am serving God, but that I am the servant of God. I ask you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, look, if you have a need for prayer for any reason, please feel free to come up and we'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, take some time to share your love with one another and meet somebody new that you don't know today. God bless you guys.